Off the Vine is brought to you by Jergens Wet Skin Moisturizer. Now you can lotion up on wet skin. It absorbs like that for softness all day. Jergens, let your beautiful shine.
Who's out with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine, Great Therapy. Caitlin Bristow's going to answer your question, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
We are in our second bottle of wine, drinking Pinot Noir. Caitlin, so just so you guys know a little something about Caitlin, she's in my bathroom right now, in my powder bath. We're downstairs in my house. She turns the faucet on to pee, so I can't hear her pee. I find that fascinating that she's so worried about me hearing her pee that she has to create the noise. And this is a girl who's pretty open about everything in her life. She's told me everything. I've pretty much seen everything. She's open about all facets of her life, but she won't let me hear her pee. And she has my faucet on. The amount of water we're wasting right now in California in a drought is all because she's self-conscious. It's going pretty, oh, now the faucet's off and now she's coming back out. Let's bring Caitlin back into this conversation.
I have the water on as I pee.
I notice you turn the water faucet on when you
Every
go pee
time.
In my house.
Every time.
Because you don't want me to hear you pee.
Mm-hmm. And I do this even if I'm alone. It's a thing my mom did that I've taken from her.
That can't be. Even when you're alone, you turn the water on.
I turn the water on. I close the
That's
door.
That's the second time.
I
noticed
it.
That the first time you did that. That's
oh,
the second
you
time
did?
You've done that. Yeah.
Okay. Because the first time I was just
taking your listeners through the play-by-play of you peeing.
Oh, and you said you can't hear anything because I turn the water on.
Because you turn the water on.
Yeah. This is a thing I do all the time. All the time.
And that's because of your mom.
Mm-hmm. She does the exact same thing. It's the same thing as misophonia. I can't handle people, the sound of them. Like if we're silent and they're eating, I'm like, oh.
Wait, what is that?
Misophonia.
What is that?
I'm going to read you the exact definition.
Because I think I might have this.
Oh, it's a very common thing that people don't know they
Just
have.
Just being completely angered by people chewing?
Rage comes over your body.
I can't take it.
Symptoms of misophonia. Are you ready for this?
Yes. I never knew this had a name.
You know what? I'm here for you. Are you checking the time? Am I boring you?
No, my kids have already gone to bed.
Oh, okay.
My kid, this is how sad I am. My kids texted me they're going to bed.
Aww.
Yeah.
No, they're being respectful of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Respect the podcast.
Okay. Chalkboard can produce a cringing reaction from many people.
True.
But for some, certain sound-based triggers can produce negative reactions much harsher and stronger. This disorder is misophonia, the hatred of sound. So it's a condition where specific sounds provoke abnormally powerful negative reactions in sufferers.
Okay, I get that.
That's you?
Yeah. People chewing?
Yes.
Or smacking?
Yes.
Like gum or...
All of that.
Yeah. People often ask, why don't we, show people eating on the show?
This is my main thing I've talked about on this
guess
podcast.
What's not sexy?
But then what the heck?
Why is there food?
No.
No.
This season with Ari, the sound was cranked for kissing noises, gulping of the wine.
It was eating everything.
Yeah. I said,
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I thought people were trying to trigger my misophonia because I'm like, they're still angry at me. Something's going on. It's personal. Because
we talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Just screwing.
You talked about my misophonia.
Yeah, I didn't even know the name of it. And we're going to trigger this.
You knew.
No, I have it worse than you.
Do you?
Yeah, I didn't know I had a name for it. I just punch people in the throat.
You have a severe case of misophonia.
Severe case. No, I will just get up and punch people. We'll be at dinner and just punch people in the throat.
Right in the throat.
Yeah. Because I mean, it does. No, loud smacking and chewing. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, how did you deal with this season? Oh, you don't watch. You're like, you're in the control room, but you don't. How many episodes do you think you've watched?
I watch them all.
But from... When
I watch them being
real
made.
Time.
Oh God, when I'm there, dates and stuff. When I'm on the, I don't know. It depends. It depends if I'm needed or not. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of us producers and hosts you know, it's like we kind of divide and conquer because there's a lot going on. There's stuff at the house. There's, so we're not all everywhere at once. We go get back together and download later as to, okay, how was the date? What's going on at the house?
Yeah.
What are the stories that are coming up and what do we want to, like, you know, what do we want to push to the forefront? What do we not care about? You know, what do we think is important? All that stuff. So there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of say in the production?
I mean, I can
you
at times.
You can have input.
It ebbs and flows. Oh, of course I can have say. It totally depends. But I'm smart enough and I've been around long enough that, like, I think like anybody, I learn to pick my spots. Mm-hmm. I decide what's important to me. Sometimes it's a moral thing. Sometimes it's just a creative thing. So it just depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just notice something and I've been around long enough. I'm like, yeah, you know what'd be good? Or you know what I think I could.
I bet you have a lot of great input.
Yeah, I just and if I don't, I don't. And they're real, like, our producers are great at what they do, and they do far more work than I will ever do. And so I let them do their thing. But every now and then, I know just from the past or things I've learned, and yeah, I throw things in.
I'm going to ask you some questions from people because
I'm going to ask you questions from people.
Okay. Who has been your favorite bachelor and bachelorette to work with? You probably have more than one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
who isn't your favorite is probably more accurate, but also
I wouldn't go deep. And I will say this, and you know this, it's after all these years, some people I blend with, some people I don't. It's just like,
and
you
that's
go,
life.
It's like you go to a dinner party. You're sitting at a table with 30 people.
It's not like you get to pick the bachelor and bachelorette.
Right. And I mean, I have my say in it, but even if I didn't love somebody. Yeah, even if I didn't love someone to a certain extent, if I thought it was great TV or I thought they'd make a good show, I would still do it with them. And so it's like a dinner party with 45, 50 people. You're going to blend with others better than you are, you know, so it just depends.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, but people always take that as, oh, you don't like him or you don't like her. That's not the case.
Of course,
sometimes it is.
Yeah. You're like, but I'm not going to say.
Right.
Yeah. Coco. What is your favorite show to host out of all of them? Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor Paradise, Winter Games. What's your favorite one?
Bachelor's my baby.
Yeah.
That's the original. It's my baby. It's what the first premise was. It's what changed my life. It's what this whole thing was created upon. And so that will always have a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah.
Just because it was where it all began. But I will say this, Winter Games that I just did, I had as much fun and enjoyed it, producing it and hosting it, as I've had anything in 16 years, just because it was new and exciting and we got to kind of create something for the first time in a long time.
And that was probably something that you had a lot of input with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a lot of input and it was fun to on the fly go, hey, you know what? I think we should do this. Or I think, you know, it was very fluid.
It was really funny for me to watch as a Canadian because I knew Benoit and Kevin.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't know those guys at all.
I had a big part of Bachelor Canada and I helped host a couple things.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you were on the after show. I saw you on the after show a lot.
Yeah.
I never saw the after show, but I saw you on the
And I'm good friends
media.
With Jasmine, who is the Canadian Bachelorette.
Gotcha.
And so I was like, this is so funny. Like,
how's the Canadian Chris Harrison?
He is okay. Noah is
the Canadian. Because we tweet each other from time to time, I've actually never met him.
You'd love him.
I feel like that. I support the show and I helped him launch it, but I never got to meet him. And I know there are Chris Harrisons around the world. I'm sorry, I'm referring to myself in the third person.
But that's
the way it goes. In France and China, they show tapes. And then I know people, and I've seen videos of them. They have the same, like, sad hand gestures and the whole thing.
Yes. I mean, your hand gestures are a real thing.
Can I tell you a story? I've never told the story. It's probably boring.
No, thanks. Just kidding.
So,
of course you can.
The story of my hands are this.
Oh, there's a story?
Yeah, there's a story. So I was a sportscaster in a prior life, and I was sitting there with a consultant. Mm-hmm. And this is what consultants do. You're sitting there, and you're going over your tapes. I was a young sportscaster in my 20s. And we were looking at video, and he goes, yeah, you sound great. You're relaxed. You're good. Your cadence is good, and you're everything's awesome. But something doesn't look right. And he's like, I can't. And then all of a sudden, after like 10 minutes of this gentleman and I sitting there, he goes, I get it. I'm like, what? He's, I'm talking to you and you can't, I mean, like you and I are talking right now. Yeah. You can't stop talking with your hands. I said, yeah. He goes, when you're on the news desk, you anchor your hands. You put your hands on the news desk and you don't move them. So I was talking to you like this, but my hands were completely locked down. And so my nothing was moving.
Oh, they're saying you were doing that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I would talk to you just like this. So my voice is the same and everything, but they're like, you don't look the same. He goes, You got to use the hand. He goes, you're a hand talker. And so ever since then, I've been careful not to, I just do my thing. That's what.
And I agree with you. I think that's something that, actually, when I think back on Crystal, season of The Bachelor, I said to one of the producers, I said, oh, sorry, I'm talking too much with my hands. And they said, actually, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's how some people express themselves.
Interesting. Because your hand gestures are very much a part of
I know.
Your success.
Apparently. People, believe me, I've been dissected left and right.
Well,
I know.
On SNL even.
I know.
Like, I always think too about that kind of stuff where I'm like, if Russell Dickerson, who's a country singer.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yours. He sang on Rachel's season.
Yeah, he was on Rachel. He and his wife are friends.
Yeah. So he, okay, we love them. And they came over the other night and I had them on the podcast.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love them. And I'm mad you guys didn't FaceTime me. This is the, this is the stuff that pisses me off.
About you.
That pisses me off.
Okay, now I know.
Because I love them.
Okay, we will FaceTime you again because we are dear friends now. We played games till 2 in the morning the other night.
I got Russell too. So we were sitting in Russell's.
Did you do this?
Did he?
I can't do
it. He has a big mouth. But we were sitting in Russell's tour bus drinking whiskey.
They told me this. Well, they didn't tell me specifics, but they were like, we love Chris Harrison. He came on the bus. He was so humble. We love him.
We were drinking whiskey and it took, as you know, on The Bachelor, we're always running behind. Mm-hmm. We were in South Carolina. And so Russell was about to perform and there were thousands of people waiting. Mm-hmm. I said, look, and we were a few whiskeys in. I said, look, we're running behind. Let's go light up the crowd a little bit. And I'm going to go talk to him. But how about, do you have a guitar? He's like, yeah, I got a guitar right here. I said, let's just go out, but let's not sing one of your songs. Let's you and I sing like George Strait or Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
So we went out and sang Friends in Low Places.
Oh, my favorite song.
So Russell Dickerson and I went out.
And he's got a great voice for that.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Yeah. And we went out and sang Friends in Low Places.
Oh, that's so
fun. And
lit
up the crowd. And then we went back and then it took another 30 minutes and we came back and did his, all romantic song. But he's a great guy.
Isn't he?
The best. Yeah.
And
talented as hell. And I'm glad he's blown up. His wife's beautiful. His wife's phenomenal. Yeah, they'll FaceTime me from bed sometimes or send me messages from bed sometimes.
Oh my gosh, we should have FaceTimed you.
I know, I'm a little pissed off.
They honestly said to me, they're like, we love Chris Harrison. And I was like, I think I'm going to take his place when he retires. And they're like, oh. And then they're like, give us your audition. And I went like this.
Hands.
And I was like, nobody can see me because I'm on a podcast, but this is all I've got.
Hands. I got hands.
Who do you think would replace you if you ever? Will the show... The show will end when you're done, is what I always say.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I think the show dies.
Which is when?
4 years.
Okay. That's okay. 4 years.
But that seemed really random.
That was random. But I'm like, okay, 4 years.
But here's the thing. I needed a random number, but I needed a specific number.
Okay.
No, I think my kids will take over.
Your son.
Yeah. Right? I think my son will take over.
What if Taylor was the Bachelorette?
Not my dead body. She's never dating. She's never dating.
Oh, that's so...
Ever.
You dad, you. Somebody wants to know, Brittany Bay wants to know if you practice...
Who do you think should host before we get into Brittany? You would host it?
I'd host the shit out of it. Have you heard this podcast?
I think there's the problem, though. I think they're
not
life.
Professional enough. They'd be like, Caitlin, no, you can't be
Caitlin's
drunk.
Caitlin's drinking all the wine.
They'd be like, we saw you were late all the time and you're drunk, so.
Rule number one, I never drink on a school night.
What day is it?
No, when I'm working. I never.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
You drank with me a couple times.
Oh, yeah. No, I drink with you all the time.
Yeah.
That was in Ireland.
I'm like, nothing counts in Ireland. I can't imagine anyone taking over your role. That's why
I
think this show would end when you do.
Yeah,
everybody always asks me that. When will the show end? I said, when Chris Harrison is done, because show is nothing without you.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know. I haven't really thought about, I've thought about one question I've thought about is the other hosts in the world, Jeff Probst, Ryan Seacrest, Tom Bergeron, people like that. And I feel like, oddly enough, I don't know if the if we became the shows became us or what have you, but I feel like we can't do each other's shows. I feel like Jeff Probst is perfect for Survivor. And
yeah,
I feel like Bergeron is great for dancing.
Yeah.
Ryan is great for Idol. And
you're right.
I'm good for The Bachelor. It's like we all found our niche.
You're right.
And if we rotated, like, we could do it. Yeah, Ryan's a great professional, and so is Bergeron. All those, like, everyone's good. But we fit. We have our homes.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know if one beget the other, but that's the way it is.
Can I just ask you something on this note? Why do you think that I wasn't allowed to do Dancing with the Stars and all the other, like, Nick? You're smiling, but...
Do you want the real answer?
I want the real answer. I want the real answer, because let me just tell you this. So there was... I know Trista did the Dancing with the Stars, but...
Do you know the answer to a trivia question? I'll give you the answer. The answer is Trista. Question is...
Okay.
Who's the first person ever... in the history of the show to be voted off of Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know.
I gave you the answer.
Trista?
She was the first person.
Okay.
She got booted off. She's the first person to ever be voted off the show.
But they needed, at that point, you said it yourself. The first Bachelor didn't really get a lot of ratings.
Right.
You needed someone to go on Dancing with the Stars. My question is, Trista has nothing to do with why I didn't go on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no, 100%.
My question is, I was told... we don't want people going on the show anymore and wanting fame out of it. I'm sick of that.
Yeah.
But then they got Nick to be the Bachelor who wanted fame out of it, and and then went on Dancing with Stars.
I will say this: it ebbed and it's a. This isn't going to be a sexy answer, and you're not going to love it.
That's fine.
It ebbs and flows. The love-hate relationship with the network, with dancing, with our people doing dancing. This goes far and above my pay grade, but. I know conversations about, you know, what we want and how we want people exposed in the show, and do we want people to do dancing and do we not, and all that. And then there's the, well, there's symmetry with the network and, you know, we owe it to the network and all that. And so there's a lot again, it's kind of like picking The Bachelor or deciding who gets married on TV. A lot more goes into it than, do we like Caitlin? Do we not like Caitlin? Do we think she can dance, or do we think she'd be good? Like,
I know that.
Like, you would have been great.
Yeah.
I think... the sad part, timing. Like,
it was great timing, Chris.
Well, no. For you, it was great timing. I think it was just, what I mean is, it was bad timing for where the pendulum was swinging as far as things going on behind the scenes with the network, with the show, it was just a bad time. If it's 6 months later, 8 months later, it's probably a whole different story. And the problem is, when people say, Caitlin, don't take it personal. Of course it's personal. It's you.
Well, this is your life. Yeah.
Like, this is your livelihood. Mm. That cost you money. It cost you real money and real opportunities.
And dancing is such a passion.
Right. And you're a dancer and you're a performer. Mm. I mean, you're not good at it, but you like it. And that shouldn't stop you. Like, I like to break dance. I do it all the time in my house, but I lock the doors and I black out the windows. But no, it was just, it's a timing thing. And this is a difficult thing to tell people, because there is a corporate side to this, and then there's a person behind it. And and I have I'm the weird conduit between both.
Because I'm kind of put in the middle.
Yeah, I am. I'm serving a master, but I also understand the personalities behind this and the human beings behind this. And so I get caught up often, and this is why I shouldn't have the final say, because I will always lean towards the personal.
I agree.
Because I'm a softie.
I agree.
And so...
Me asking you these questions is never like, I think you have say. And
of course,
no,
I understand.
It's more just like, and I always think maybe you can't answer this, but at the same time, I'm just curious, because the reasoning behind it was, I don't want people searching for fame after the show. But then it was like, Nick of all people.
Yeah, or Chris or Jake. And I mean, it's been done a million times.
Right.
No, it was bad timing. That's what it comes down to.
But what do you mean bad timing?
There were, the pendulum must have been, and I don't really remember, honestly, like the specifics of what was going on when you were supposed to be on the show.
Yeah.
But my guess is the pendulum was swinging to, okay, enough of, like, our people being overexposed on other shows and it taking away from the
sincerity. So then why the next season?
Because then the pendulum swings, because the pendulum swing this way, and then it swings back.
The damn pendulum seemed to really swing far, because it was like
that's
the
way it goes. That's the way it goes in society. It's the way it goes with art, with
but
everything.
Me, of all people, who somebody basically said, Sean should be your passion, not dancing. And I'm like, well, I should be able to have more than one passion in life. And then it was Nick of all
Sean
people.
Sean can only be my passion for like...
at least 3 weeks. And then Nick of all people, who it's like, we get it, you want to be on TV. And then he gets Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, but I thought your whole point was...
tonight, yeah. And so that's timing.
Yeah.
Like everything with business, it's timing. And it sucks because you're a person.
Yeah.
And this is your heart and soul, and everything was on the line. And so that's what, and again, you and I have talked about this. That's the difficult part for me, is I deal with the people, and the people making those decisions, which are far above my pay grade, don't deal with the people. Mm-hmm. They're not looking you in the eye. They're not having to sit across the table from you, and they can make, which is honestly, it's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, probably. You know, it's kind of like,
well, for them,
it's kind of like why agents negotiate my deals with business affairs as opposed to me sitting, you know, so emotion and all that stuff's taken out of it so they can make a smart executive business decision.
And Sean and I always talk about this too, because we obviously love you. So we're like, man, poor Chris. Because it's like, you're the one that has to deal with the tough questions.
Well, I deal with the tough questions. I deal with the repercussion. And I deal with the repercussions of those decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's, and that's something that the people that make those decisions will never understand, mm-hmm. because they can't. They're just not involved enough in the show, and they're not involved enough with you.
Yeah.
And so when they say, Caitlin can't be on Dancing, or she's not doing Dancing, whatever it is, and then I have to go sit down with Caitlin.
Yeah.
There's repercussions to that.
Of course.
You're pissed off. You're angry. You're hurt. You're whatever it is. And then I have to deal with those. And that's part of my job. It's
but
part
also
of the deal.
I mean, viewers don't, but I know that this is not you making these decisions.
Of course.
It's just.
But you can't help but me. But I also. But even you saying that, you know, I represent the name and the brand, and you can't help but be a little mad. So you're not exactly going to give me what you would if you were happy.
Well, and part of me loving you is part of me being honest and asking tough questions.
Right.
Next question.
Yes. By the way, that was a made up question just from you and Sean.
I'm like, Chris.
Yeah, Bubba 320 said.
Said.
Kate Sean. Yeah. Kate Sean asked. Kate Sean Nashville just asked, why are you such an a-hole?
I'm like, oh, I really should have worked on that name. Crystal Cauldron wants to know, we have seen plenty of bachelors and bachelorettes and contestants shed tears. Has Chris Harrison ever shed a tear on the show? And if so, when?
I just cried the other night. Oh. You guys didn't see it on camera.
But have you ever cried on camera?
I don't think I've cried. No, yeah. I've never cried on camera, but I've...
What's cried?
Well, like, you go from zero to Mesnick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've never like Mesnicked on camera.
Okay.
But I've definitely gotten choked up and emotional. Last time, Ben on Winter Games.
Oh, yeah.
Ben and I, so people don't know that this wasn't really shown on camera, but I actually sought Ben out.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's a friend of mine, and I talked to the producers, and I said, look, he's a shell of a human being here. He's not meant to be here. I made a mistake. I thought he'd be great for the show. Turns out he wasn't. Let's get him out of here. Mm-hmm. So we did. I went and sat down with him. Didn't mean for the conversation to go this way or intend for it to go this way. And it got really deep really quick. And because we're friends, and all of a sudden he and I were just having this conversation. And I said, look, you are a shell of a human being. You're like a ghost walking around this mm-hmm. house. You need to go. I thought this would be good for you. Yeah. Turns out it's not. You got to go. And, and he started talking about all the ghosts that this kind of kicked up for him. And I told him, I was like, I feel bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think this would happen to you. And I feel responsible.
People have moved on.
Right. But I feel responsible that this is happening to you. And I'm a friend, and I just felt bad that I didn't see it coming. And he wasn't mad, but he started crying, and then I didn't like start bawling, but I got really emotional, and I got a little teared up and choked up. And so that was the last time I got really emotional, was not that long ago, because he's a good dude and I felt bad.
I know.
I feel responsible for these people. And so asking him to come on Bachelor Winter Games, I thought would be good for him because I know he's over Lauren. I'm not worried about that. But
it doesn't mean it doesn't.
Right. But I think just being there reminded him of.
Oh my gosh, of course. Because nobody will. We say this all the time. Nobody will ever understand certain situations until you're in it. No matter if it's Bachelor or not Bachelor, like, no matter what it is in life, nobody understands the situation until you're in it. So that is just like another world to be involved in with cameras and feelings and putting yourself out there. So I do feel like, I mean, I can't imagine going back now, and it's been 3 years for me. And I can't imagine just even watching the show. For me, I get emotional just because it's so real. And I talked to Vanessa the other night, and she was like, Caitlin, I was so sad going to bed and waking up because I watched this season. And I was like, well, what are you doing watching it this soon? Like, too soon.
Right.
Too soon.
Too soon.
It's because you go through time. Such real things. But anyways, we're going to wrap this up. I'm like,
who else? Who else do we have? We have more questions?
There's just a couple more.
This is going to be like a 3-part podcast.
I was thinking about it. Yeah.
This is going to, we're going to
break this up. I keep
looking,
I'm like, this is amazing. Ladies, when it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bra sizes in AA through G and half cup sizes. Thank you, because I am a half cup size. Third Love. Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great. I don't know if you just heard me, but I said memory foam and bra in the same sentence. Third Love has 60 sizes, including half cups. Never heard of a half cup size? That's because no one else does it. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. To find the bra you've been waiting for, all you have to do is answer a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder quiz. It just takes 60 seconds, and you can do it all from the comfort of your own home. I was going to say with your bra off, but really, with Third Love, you don't want to take your bra off. It's that comfy. So you'll never have that awkward fitting room experience again. I've actually had a few of those. Try a Third Love bra. It's so comfortable, you might forget you're wearing it. My email just went off. And if you don't agree, returns and exchanges are always easy and free. So this year, make the change that will change the way you think about bras. Go to thirdlove.com/vine now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/vine. Caroline McLean, which season do you think really was the most dramatic season ever?
Yours wasn't dramatic. I mean, it was good. No, okay. It was good, but it wasn't dramatic. Like, dramatic. I mean, Jason, Molly, and Melissa. Let me pour you some more.
I was like, go on. Yep.
Jason, Molly, and Melissa, only because what was happening was so raw, different, and handling it. And again, I think about the TV side of it as producers, and we were like, what do we do with this? This is pre social media, pre everything. And we're just trying to figure out what's best for everybody. What's the best way to do this? And things were like, stories were breaking a lot in tabloids at the time. And so we're like, okay, why don't we own, like, that was the beginning of us like saying, let's own these stories. Mm-hmm. Like, there are stories. They belong on our show. We tell them the best way. Why are we giving them to the tabloids? Mm-hmm. Because if, and this takes me up, flash forward to Ari and Lauren and Becca. If we don't show what we showed, the story's getting out.
This is why you also went during my season. You came to the overnights in the morning because you learned a lesson from before that something was, there's a disconnect. Nobody knew what was going on. Right. So,
and people are filling in the blanks, or someone will tell a story, some tabloid, some whatever. So back then we thought, okay, someone's going to tell this story probably incorrectly, and they're going to profit from it and then exploit it and bastardize it. Why don't we take it and let them do their thing? Mm-hmm. Let them tell their story. And so kind of flash forward to Ari and Becca, let them do their thing. Let them tell the story unedited, uncut. Who can write a story off of what happened? No, that really didn't happen. This is what, no, you saw it all. Mm-hmm. Two cameras, unedited. So again, a lesson learned.
And clearly no producers there.
Yeah, none.
Because
Yeah, no one talked to him. Yeah, you would have seen him saying, hey, do this, do this, do this. It was them on camera. You saw how this works out. And so that took a little bit away from everybody. And so that to me overall was a season that changed the arc of this show. Like it, Jason and Molly and Melissa that was a wild time.
So do you think that they'll do more filming of the Happy Couple Weekends now?
We do that anyway. I mean, we did it with you.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, we have it. We probably do it more extensively now. But
and we do it so much, too. Like, we have so much footage, too, because you're so happy to be together. And you're like, holy shit, we can do our own footage.
People thought, oh, you guys put this together because you have so much footage from this. I'm like, we always have footage.
I thought of that, too.
Either we give you guys GoPros, we give you guys phones, whatever. We have the footage.
Yeah, I guess people don't think of that where...
like, some of that footage you saw of Becca and him on the...
Hammock.
That was just their phone.
Yeah.
There wasn't a camera crew there.
Yeah.
We just took that footage.
Mm-hmm. Anna Lee wants to know, did Peter not be the bachelor because he wouldn't guarantee a proposal? I still don't know what happened with the Peter thing.
Well, first of all, can you just clear up? Does anybody guarantee a proposal?
No.
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 There's no contract.
No.
There's no promise of a proposal. We don't care if you propose, right?
That's a fact. I will say that. No, I had a lawyer look over the contract.
Yeah.
Nobody said I had to propose or that I had to be proposed.
We asked nothing of you.
Yeah.
As far as a
people
relationship.
People want that, if anything.
Right.
The viewers want that.
And I want that. Like, is my show better if you and Sean get engaged?
Course.
Of course, it's pretty. But guess what? And I don't mean this sounds horrible, but if you don't, that's fine. Like, that show's fine too.
Well, Pablo didn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people that haven't. So that doesn't exist.
So why did I still don't know. This is actually probably a question for me is why Peter wasn't.
But I mean, why not Luke? Why not a million people? Why not Ari 20 years ago? Why not? Like, that's there's been a million.
So there was nothing. It was just like, let's just pick someone.
So much goes into who the Bachelor or Bachelorette is. Mm-hmm. Like, so much.
More than I probably know when I was the Bachelorette. God.
Yeah. Far more than you'll ever know. And you were the Bachelorette. And it goes far above my pay grade to the president of ABC and the president of Warner Brothers. And everybody has opinions. There's a lot of chefs in the kitchen. So I can't begin to tell you how many factors there are.
Yeah.
It's not, it has so little to do with, hey, we like him. We don't. I mean, that's. I wish it was that
it's
superficial.
It's just so interesting too, because he says things like, "Oh, you really miss out on opportunities," and then you're like, "But what? Couldn't you have been like?" You just never know.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not out of like as you've seen. Who would have thought Nick would have ever come back and been the Bachelor?
Not I.
Right, not I either, and not any of us. But he,
Ari too.
Ari, yeah. I mean, so it's it. You never know. You never know who's going to come back into the fold.
Emily Ann 152. If you could change one thing about this show, what would it be?
The host. He is.
Stop.
Such.
A douche canoe. Megan.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I was trying to come up with a good answer. I don't.
How long it's filmed.
Yeah, the hours if it's filmed. I would shoot it on a soundstage in Hollywood at 2 p.m.
Green screen.
Oh, God. Yeah. So it's not all night. And because the older I've gotten, the harder it is, these hours.
Yeah, of course.
I had no gray hair when I started this show.
Is your hair gray now?
I agree.
You look like you're freaking like 38.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when I see stuff online. That I tan. That
you golf. You don't tan. Like
exactly.
You golf.
I go to golf and I go to lacrosse. But people think I get tans.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Of course.
People think.
Who cares if you did?
Oh no, I know exactly. But people think I color my hair, or that it's not my hair.
You don't color your hair.
Really?
Well, I'm only saying that because you look so good.
Come look at my hair. Look at the gray. Look at the gray in my hair. There's plenty of gray in my hair.
But it's like, no, it's pretty minimal for
let's say I'm 46.
Let's say you're 46.
Let's say I'm 46.
And let's say you work a shit ton of hours.
Yeah.
And let's say you have kids.
I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed and lucky that I have much less gray hair than Ari does.
You won the genetic lottery.
I won the genetic lottery. Yeah, I don't. But I don't dye my hair. I don't dye my teeth. I don't tan.
What do you mean you don't dye your teeth? You don't white your teeth?
No, should I? I should?
Well, no, not because... No, I'm saying this because you look great. I'm not saying you should because you have yellow teeth and gray hair.
I figure eventually they'll just vote me off the island and I'll just be off TV and I don't have to worry about it.
You will never be off TV, even when you...
So no. No hair plugs, no hair dyes, no... No, that's just...
Just blessed.
Right. I have butt implants. That I will admit.
The one thing.
Yeah,
I just... Butt implants.
But, I mean, that's... Everyone has those, right?
Mm-hmm. This girl, Megan, she was on The Bachelor Canada. I love her. She's from Newfoundland. And she tweeted, I was like, oh, I have to read this. She said, tell him Megan from The Bachelor Canada loves him and ask if he'd be down to do Bachelor in Paradise International.
Yes.
Bring her on. She was great.
After Bachelor Winter Games, why not do Bachelor Paradise International? The internationals is what made the show so great.
I thought I wouldn't like it. I was like,
me too.
Oh,
I wasn't sure.
I was like, I love this. I love seeing where everybody comes from with their bachelor story. And it's really nice to bring everybody together.
I loved it. And the different cultures and the different ways the show's done.
It's great.
And it put our people that always seem to know what's going on and think they know what's ahead. Mm-hmm. They had no clue.
No.
And it made it great.
Yeah, I agree. You're a golfer. Cindy LaCrosse. She's a golf.
Lacrosse player.
No, she's... Weirdly enough, a golfer. She's got a blue check mark. She said, did Chris see this coming at all? Is that why there's a happy couple weekend with cameras? They've never filmed a couple after shooting ends before. This doesn't make sense,
no,
but you know what I'm getting at.
I know what she's getting at. And that's the thing. We always shoot it. We always have the happy couples. We always shoot them. We always have GoPros or cameras or trust me. Because if anything... We usually use it for happy vignettes. So mm-hmm. when you guys come back, we can say, oh yeah, you guys had your great vacation up in Canada. Let's take a look at it.
Right.
We do. We always have video. We don't always use it. You don't always see it because usually it doesn't matter. And sometimes it doesn't make air. This just happened to be important and thank God we had it. But no, this wasn't some elaborate setup. And I get the conspiracy theorists and all that, but we always have footage.
But I mean, even if you didn't and he was questioning, why wouldn't you guys
film it?
It just makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
It really all makes sense. Especially if people are so happy and so this outpouring love for Becca. Why, if he was even questioning it.
No, you saw the happy couple footage wasn't pretty. Like them pulling out the pizza dough and all, like that was all handheld.
Yeah.
We just like, we always have that footage of people.
And also I think back on my time in like, you film everything cause you're just so happy to be with that person.
Right.
And you're like, oh my gosh, we finally get to be together. So it makes sense. I wasn't confused by that. I'm just reading it. You probably can't answer that. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Katie out with the devil is her Twitter name. What would be, how do you walk out of the limo if you're on The Bachelorette? What would be your limo exit?
I thought about this.
Yeah.
Simple. I'm simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not a banjo player. I'm not coming in a cupcake car.
Yeah.
I've thought about this very much. And I'm so, but that's who I am.
Right. You just, Chris.
I'm
seeing there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gone on night one.
Yeah.
I am the one they're like, I don't even remember him.
Yeah.
I don't. Chris who? Yeah, I don't remember him.
No.
Yeah.
Kevin wants to know, has Chris ever seen a contestant stay as calm and collected through a breakup as Becca showed during the raw unedited segment? What aspects about Becca's personality does Chris think will lead her to have success on The Bachelorette?
Well, that's what we talked about. That's one of the things I love about Becca. And I wouldn't compare her to others because, I don't know, like there have been others that have done very well and handled it well. But her poise and grace and dignity yet vulnerability, all those things led us to fall in love with her for sure. And that's, again, that's what makes, it's going to make her a great bachelorette. It'll make her compassionate, empathetic.
Exactly.
And like, she will take those things about how she was treated and think, okay, I don't want to be treated like this, but I will say this. She has an idea in her head of how she's going to go about this. That will change. And you know this because you think you know how you're going to act and you think you're going to do this. She'll get in there and go, oh, I have a lot more respect for Ari than I did before.
Oh, hell yes.
Because it's not as easy as it looks.
That was my number one thing. I can remember sitting in a room with Bennett, executive producer, and going, oh, I just want to tell Chris that I'm sorry and that I understand now and that it's so different than
But I have to say goodbye to this guy, and there's nothing wrong with this guy, but I have to say goodbye
because
to him.
Because I would never look at him and say, hey, just so you know, soon I'm going to say bye to you. So just like mentally prepare yourself for that. I wouldn't do that because that's not how this this format works. So
just know that that's one thing Becca will learn is that when she gets in Ari's shoes, she will say this to me. I understand now, and I have a lot more respect for what Ari did.
Yeah, 100%. I will for sure say that. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to give her advice soon. Maybe that's something I can talk about. We already talked about that. Who would be your replacement when you left?
Why does everyone want to replace me?
Nobody wants to. They're all worried about when they have to. Last question. What's your favorite limo entrance ever? This is not the last question, but that's...
I don't know why Kaylin came to mind, the helicopter in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it was just... I the reason I liked extreme. It was such an F you.
Yeah.
It wasn't the extreme as much as it was just such an F you to everybody.
Yeah.
And he wore it. That's the thing. It wasn't just the helicopter. It was the helicopter and the attitude of, I just came in a helicopter, so suck it.
Yeah.
And so there's something I really appreciated about the whole... The whole bit.
He was like,
he owned every bit of it. Yeah. And I that was true. Emily's season of The Bachelor.
That's true. She was a good one. What do you really think? This is Nadia. What do you really think about the show Unreal?
I've answered this before.
It must be annoying.
No, it's not. No, I don't.
It's not?
No, that's, it's like, talk about a misnomer. Like, here's the truth. I'll tell you. They love it. When we, they love it. When we talk about them, they would love for me to hate it. They need that. I don't mind the show. I don't watch it. I don't, but I don't watch it because I don't hate it, because I don't like it. It's just, I haven't dove into it. I watched one episode because I was interviewing Constance, who I love.
Honest, nobody's really dove into the show Unreal. There's like a few people.
Right. Not a lot of, it's, I mean,
it's not like a
rating success. It's not a rating success.
Yeah.
But I love Constance. She's the main actress. She's awesome. And I was interviewing her at the Emmys. And so I watched an episode so I could know what I was talking about when I was interviewing her. And look, my honest to God feelings on this business is hard. It's really hard. If you can make a living in this business, whether you're an actor, whether you're in craft service, whether you're in makeup, whatever you do, God bless you. If you can make a living in this, good on you.
Yeah.
And there are people, hundreds of people employed because of us on Unreal.
You're right.
There's a scripted show based on our show and there's hundreds of people working. So I don't begrudge anybody. I don't hate anybody. I'm not mad at it at all. Like, it doesn't hurt us. So that's the main thing. First of all, it doesn't hurt us. It doesn't affect us at all. Nobody, I can't remember a time that anybody in our control room or ever has mentioned the show Unreal. No one, and I don't mean this as a slight, but no one really talks about it. And so I wish them well. Like, if they could go on and crush 15 more seasons, go get it, man.
Yeah.
Go make a living. And like, that's why, and I'll take this further about not even having to do with Unreal. With you, with any bachelor, bachelorette, people are like, well, she's selling this or she's doing this. She's selling out. I'm like, good. Great.
Yeah, right.
Go make a freaking buck. Go make a living. Go whatever. If you can make $10 doing a podcast, or you can make whatever doing gummy hair bears or toothbrushes, then good on you. Like, I've made a great living off this show.
Of course you have.
Like, I've made a great life. My kids have a great life. So good for you.
Yeah.
If I can help that, like, this is my only thing about Unreal.
Yeah.
They played it wrong. They tried to pit themselves against us and against me.
And it probably helped.
They think it helped. And they're trying to make it seem like that. They think it's like their PR people think if the people of The Bachelor hate us, that's a good story.
Right.
Chris Harrison hates our show. That's a good story.
Right.
We can sell that. This is the untold, real, true stories. The truth is we don't care.
They're looking for you to.
Right. The truth is we don't care. What would have been smarter? They should have sent me a fruit basket or some wine and involved me. I support them. Mm-hmm. I want them to succeed. I want them to work. I want them to be successful. I want them to get great ratings. I don't care. That means more people are talking about our show and watching our show. It doesn't matter to me. And it doesn't matter to our show. They're not going to affect our ratings.
You know what? You're right.
They should have sent me a case of wine and said, hey, this is an homage to your show. We couldn't do this show without you. Mm-hmm. Be a part of it.
The more successful Unreal is, really, the more people that know about The Bachelor.
Of course.
Here's the thing, too, is that all these people are not going to be like, oh, I'm going to boycott The Bachelor.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, now I'm intrigued. Oh, well, now I'm going to tune in. There are your ratings.
It was a very myopic view. And that was some PR person who convinced somebody that this will be great. They'll hate us and we'll create this rivalry. And there's nothing sadder than a one-sided rivalry.
Right.
Instead, they should have invited us to the party and it would have gone over much better.
Right.
But they didn't call and ask me.
Well, lesson learned
lesson
for them.
Lesson learned.
Okay, guys, it's that time again, that familiar crossroads of choosing between basketball and hockey. You can't choose, but they're both on. Well, if you're Canadian, you choose hockey. But why are they both on? Relax, we have a solution. Buffalo Wild Wings. Rather than fill your living room with TVs, come into B-dubs. We've got hockey and basketball on each plane on dozens of screens so that you don't have to choose. And to complete the trifecta, we can ensure you have access to all sports foods you crave. From our selection of America's favorite wings in any of our 21 signature sauces and seasonings to shareable favorites like cheddar cheese curds and fried pickles. I love fried pickles. You'll have everything you've ever wanted. But wait, we also have a variety of beers to quench your thirst. All the basketball, all the hockey, all the food and the beer you want. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Please drink responsibly.
We'll be right back with more Off the Vine. Grape Therapy.
Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it, and I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style, but really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period, so you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey guys, this is Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules, and I want to invite you to the party I'm throwing every week, my new podcast, Shenanigans. I'm going to be getting into some crazy conversations with friends like my first guest, Ariana Maddox. We're cranking it up to 11, playing games, telling juicy stories, and holding nothing back as we get into some Sheena-level nanigans. That's why it's called Shenanigans, duh. So download new episodes every Tuesday starting March 6th on the Podcast One app at podcastone.com. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
This is the last thing we're doing. It's the most dramatic game ever in Off the Vine history. Are you ready for it?
Bring it.
It's called Who Would You? And it's not what you're thinking.
Thank you, because I can't answer that question.
It's not. It's not.
I've told you.
I know. I wouldn't play this game unless
I knew. Do you remember the guy I told you it was?
Yep. I'm like, can we say that? Yep, I remember. Okay, are you ready?
Okay, go. What's this game?
Who would you choose to be your wing woman or wing man?
No, you would actually be a good wing woman.
I am a good one.
And I'm not sucking up to you, but you would be a good wing. Can I have two Canadians?
Me and Jillian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy.
Jillian is.
To put it, can I speak like Jillian?
Yeah.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
You and Jillian would be amazing wing woman. It would be a disastrous season, but probably the best television ever created if you and Jillian were my wing women.
I agree. Okay. Great answer. Who would you choose? No, wait. Who would you get to guest host if you had to call in sick?
God, this is terrible. There's no good answers to any of this.
Yes, there is.
To guest host if I was sick.
And we're keeping it in the family. Bachelor people.
Oh, I was going to say Steve Harvey.
Oh. Okay, let's not keep it in the Bachelor family. That's a good one.
No, honestly, my guest host would be Ellen DeGeneres.
God, I love it. That's a great one.
I have this weird fascination with her and her blue eyes.
I would do weird things to Ellen DeGeneres.
She reached into my pants one night.
Go on.
Yeah.
We
were playing poker.
Like poke her?
No, we were playing poker. Oh. We were actually playing poker one night. and she put ice down the back of my pants. It was the back. She put ice down my pants.
Oh, because if it was the front, I'd be concerned.
Right. No. Yeah. No, she put ice down the back.
And
that's when we fell in love. Mm. No, I love Ellen. She would be, and she loves the show. Can I have two?
Yes.
Three?
Yes.
This is my dream host.
Okay.
The holy triumphant.
Okay.
The holy triumphant of hosts of this show.
Yeah.
Howard Stern.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. And Ellen DeGeneres.
Stop flirting with me.
How good is that? How good is that?
I love Ellen to the point where she's my hall pass. Brad Pitt hit on me.
Don't care.
Ryan Gosling.
Don't care. Ellen.
Ellen.
People don't understand. There's one thing people, and I've known Ellen for a while and have been on her show many times. As if you, her blue eyes.
Piercing.
They're captivating. I get what Portia sees.
Crystal blue persuaders.
Yeah. You're crystal blue. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's Ellen's eyes. Crystal blue persuaders. Yeah. Okay. Great. Who do you want to help you hide a dead body?
There's a lot of people on this show that would help me.
yeah.
But one and two would be Carrie and Gina.
Yeah.
Makeup and wardrobe. They know where the bodies are buried anyway.
You're right.
They would help me bury.
Good answer.
And they would never tell.
Great answer. Who would you call to bail you out of jail?
Bob Guinea.
Really?
Bob Guinea would never question anything.
He would just do it.
He would want to know the story, but he would just do it.
Okay.
He would laugh and I don't know why he just came to mind. But Bob Guinea would come bail me out. I could call him anytime and I'd be like, "What's up?"
And he would be
He would do it in a heartbeat.
He'd be like, "I'm here.
I'm here." Yeah.
Who would you avoid if you saw in the grocery store?
Who would want to avoid me?
That's not the question.
Who would I avoid? Mm-hmm. I don't think I would avoid. I
liar.
No, I don't think I'd avoid. I would because, but you know, I love conflict and I love uncomfortable situations.
Okay.
Who would it be? Like people think, Juan Pablo. I'd go up and give Juan Pablo a hug. I don't care. Chad.
That's true.
Corinne. Like, there's nobody I wouldn't go talk to. There's nobody I can't think of.
Like, there's nobody on TV that you can't stand that if they were like, "Oh my God, Chris Harrison from The Bachelor," you'd be like, don't.
Oh, like anywhere in the world?
Anywhere.
Matt Lauer.
Really? Great one.
Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matt Lauer, I'd probably just punch him in the throat and move
great
on.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Would you punch or chop?
Punch.
Okay. Who do you call to get the party started?
Andrew Firestone.
Yeah.
Andrew Firestone.
Again. I know. I really want to be friends
with him. He is my spirit animal.
What does it mean?
It means I wish I were him. And he is that guy that, like, again, if you needed to start a party or keep a party going, you're like, insert Andrew. And all of a sudden, everything is okay. And everybody's
instantly. Oh, my God. His initials are AF.
And everybody's all of a sudden, everyone's having a good time. Mm.
That's good. Who'd you bring on a desert island?
Oh, Ryan Sutter.
Totally.
Because we're living. Ryan Sutter will take a bamboo shaft and a Snickers wrapper and we're going to live. We'll have a satellite food. Yeah, for sure.
The last question is from me. Are you ready?
Go. Is there more wine? Oh.
I'm not concerned about that with your cellar. It's not even a question. It's more of a statement. Somebody that we both know told me that you remind them of an owl.
I was what?
You remind them of an owl.
I don't understand.
Somebody.
I can turn my head 360?
No.
Okay. Who told you, first of all?
What?
Who said this?
First part of that?
Who said that?
Who?
Who said this?
Makes sense. You do remind me of an owl. Do you get it?
That was it. That was the joke.
Yeah. I just wanted you to say who.
That was it. That was That's how you're ending your podcast.
My whole thing was somebody we know said you remind me of an owl, and all I wanted you to say was who.
Who?
Who?
Who? After 5 hours, this is what we're ending with. I need more wine.
You know what? Is there a better ending to this podcast?
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, you want to turn the tables?
I just want to know how.
Take a sip first.
So, I don't do in-depth personal interviews.
But?
I welcomed you into my home.
You did.
We talked about a lot of things we shouldn't have talked about. Mm-hmm. I gave you answers I shouldn't have given you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what is your takeaway?
From this whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. My takeaway is, my takeaway is kind of what I already knew, though. I tend to have a bit of a attitude towards certain things, and I know that it's not you. So my takeaway is that I still can't blame you, even though I was trying to for a couple of things.
Meaning you were angry at the show.
Yeah.
For things that have happened to you.
Mm-hmm. But not angry at... I'm not angry at the show overall.
You feel like you were slighted.
I feel like I am one of the luckiest people in the world out of this whole, out of everybody who's come from this franchise, I think I'm one of the luckiest because I think what's happened to me through the show and what I've gone through has actually built who I am and why I am here interviewing you. I really feel great things. What? What?
I want to say this.
Okay.
I feel like you think you are the runt of the litter. I think you feel like you weren't the bachelorette, that you weren't the chosen one, and that you were the runt of the litter in the respect that you're not like Trista, or you're not like Andy, or you're not like JoJo, or whatever. And the truth is, you are, and you were. And that is a perception problem for you, but not for me. When I think of Caitlin Bristow, I just think of a fantastic, magnificent bachelorette. You were one of my favorites. You are one of my favorites. You're one of my favorite people. But I also think of you from a TV standpoint as my bachelorette. Not the bachelorette that there were two of them and it was Brit and then it was a weird season or whatever. But I get that you feel like that.
I don't think I feel like that anymore.
I think you do.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
I think you feel like you backed into this. and maybe not even the Brit thing, but I feel like you weren't deserving of this. You aren't like the others, but it's, that is what we all love about you. And that's what we still love about you, is you're not like the others.
Thank you.
And so I think some of the misgivings about the franchise or about whatever is not necessarily, some of it is very justified. Mm-hmm. And again, I think some of it has to do with timing. I deal with the same thing. And I can say, welcome to network TV of,
yeah.
Very little of it probably has to do with you and mm-hmm. has to do with some other issue in the world that you just got used as a pawn. But I feel like you don't feel like you deserved it, and you earned it, and you did. You were that girl. You are that woman. And I don't feel like you know that.
I go back and forth because there are times where I'm like, I know I deserved it and I know that I am worth it. But there are also times where I'm like, I'm clearly the black sheep. Is that me feeling sorry for myself?
It's not. First of all, you're not wrong mm-hmm. about feeling that way because mm-hmm. that's your feelings. Mm-hmm. But I also know other people feel that way. Mm-hmm. And a really good friend of mine feels that way. And I talked to her about that too. And I feel like, I don't know why that is, but.
Well, I'm sure it has everything to do with the times and the social media and it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with insecurities and everyone else, because I am a very big believer in, like, screw everything, be who you are and own who you are and blah, blah. And a big part of the world we live in is social media. And
of course,
unfortunately, being compared to others, and if somebody has this many more followers than you, then you must not have been the best bachelorette. And I hate getting, I'll read tweets, and I love reading tweets from 98% of people, and then they'll be like, oh, Becca's the new bachelorette, I'm so excited, she'll be so much better than Caitlin. And it's like, I can't take that personally. That's right. One person, you know, like, it's just so silly. But when you read that and you feel it, you're like, oh, damn, that sucks.
But you didn't back into this. Mm-mm. You were a pillar of our franchise. Mm-hmm. You're a huge part of our franchise. The reason the franchise is where it is right now, the reason Becca gets this opportunity is as much because of you as it is anybody else.
And I'm such a supporter of, like, I'm like, oh God, I want success for her.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with you and how you perceive yourself and how you perceived yourself getting the role of the bachelorette, that you didn't really deserve it, that you didn't earn it, that you weren't that great, mm-hmm. that it was a joke and we used you as the what. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. You were phenomenal and everything that happened around you was fantastically successful. And everything that's happened since has been fantastically successful. You're a ridiculous success. You're on frickin' Broadway. Your podcast is blowing up. You have a million other things going on. So it's interesting to me that you still have those doubts.
I think I think my doubts are wondering why where I came from they don't have the same beliefs that I'm like, why isn't it that where I came from is like, we support you, we love you, we want to do this for you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I did this and I'm killing it and all the things I believed in with myself are coming true. Why doesn't ABC make me feel that way?
Well, because that's not their job. Their job isn't to make Caitlin feel good.
Right. And I don't expect that from them.
And just so you know, they don't make Chris Harrison feel good.
And I do constantly remind myself of that. Yes.
And if they should make anybody feel good, they should make us. But that's not the way this works.
Like, I agree.
That's not the way any of this works. And that's a huge misnomer, is that there's this, like, gold brick road that, you know, no one's on that.
I totally understand.
But I think there is this misnomer among bachelors and bachelorettes.
Because we don't understand this world.
Well, exactly. But I also think that you think that Rachel's on that road, or JoJo's on that road, or Andy or Allie or whoever is on this road, and you're not. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're being left out of the party, and you're not. Like, you're not. You're as beloved and as loved as anybody else, which is to not to say it's you're incredibly loved by, like you should, but you're as loved as anybody else.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the biggest misnomer. And I know that just knowing all of you, everybody feels a little slighted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Miss America. Mm-hmm. Cause I do that as well. And that every Miss America, and I've done, God, I don't know, 14 of them, however many I've done.
Have you?
I've done a lot since like 2004, mm-hmm. and I've done tons. So they all feel really special, and they all feel like they should be the one. They're like, they're the chosen one. They're the special one. And they are, and mm-hmm. they were. Mm-hmm. But then so is the next one. And so is the previous one. And so is the one after them, and the one after that, and the one after that. Yeah. And so, like, it doesn't mean you're any less special, you're any less important, you're any less this, but at the same time, there's only so much to go around.
Yeah.
Like, do we love Caitlin and Sean? Like, I can't tell you how much we do love Caitlin and Sean. And that's, I get that all the time. Why, you know, you guys are, you know, we'll show Sean Lowe or whatever. And then it's like, well, what, you hate Caitlin and Sean, or you hate JoJo? It's like, well, no, but we can only have one person on.
I understand that.
Like, you're going to be on Becca's season. Mm-hmm. Well, there's.
And guess, also on JoJo's season.
Right. And guess what? 15 other women won't be because we can't. Like, we can only have so many people
on. I understand that.
But it's.
I don't feel like I'm that butthurt about it.
No, you are. You get. You feel slight. You feel slighted. And, but I get it. Mm-hmm. I do. It's not wrong to feel that way because I get. Because I feel that way. I get that way too about my jobs, and so do the best talent and hosts and actors in the world.
Yeah.
It's only natural.
You're right.
And it's hard not to get your feelings hurt when you're not included and you're not invited to the party and you see something going on. And you're like, what's going, you know, it's natural. But I feel like, more importantly, you don't feel like you belong and that you deserved it. Mm-hmm. And that couldn't be further from the truth. If nothing else in this podcast, I want you to take away from this. You were chosen for a reason. And it's because we needed you. Mm-hmm. You deserved it. But you were that woman that we needed. Like, it always goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Like, you needed us, but we needed you.
I think a small part of me also thinks I blew it. Like, I'll sit here.
Because you picked Sean.
You know, I'll be like, man, I picked the wrong guy. But I'll sit here and think, like, I really screwed up a couple of times. And maybe that's why they don't like me. Because I did.
Yeah, but everyone else does too. Mm-hmm. Because you guys aren't trained in this business, prepared for this business. And you're figuring out, you're thrown into this at 10,000 feet. And you're like, okay, you have no parachute, figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
Like I always, and this is, and I've talked to you about this off air. Uh-huh. I talk to every bachelor and bachelorette that I appreciate and respect, and I have a friendship with. I talk to them about how to make that transition. You and I have talked about business. You and I have talked about all this because nothing will prepare you for what's to come next.
Right.
Like how to negotiate, how to talk, you know, when you're getting offered deals and all that, like what, you know, you so much is thrown at you guys. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like drinking from a fire hydrant.
It's an oasis. It's
like, yeah. You're not prepared to like, you can't take all that in.
Yeah.
You need somebody to kind of slow it down for you so you can, you know, properly process all this that's happening to your life. Cause it's a lot at once. And so it's something that I try to help every, you know, most bachelors and bachelorettes with. And I can only, you know, and I can only do so much too, because at the end of the day, you also feel like, well, I know more than you. I got this and, you have no idea what's being thrown at me. And, but it's, you know, I came to where I am over 20, 30 years of this business. Mm-hmm. So I had this slow rise. Mm-hmm. You went from zero to 1,000. Yeah. You were shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
And you're like, figure it out. That's, I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
And you've done amazingly well. A lot of our people have done amazingly well, but it's hard not to feel slighted and
well, there's so many things like, I remember podcasting with, Spencer Pratt and Heidi, and they were like, you know, we were on the Hills and it was basically Lauren Conrad's show. Mm-hmm. And she goes, so it was Lauren and all her people riding the wave towards us, and we were just going against them the whole time. So no matter what, no matter how good of people they are, no matter what, people were against them because there's somebody else riding that wave and riding the show. So I feel that way sometimes with, I mean, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it was like, I mean, I love the show. I love this franchise. I love where I came from. I love that I am here now because of it. But I did feel for a while that I wasn't riding the same wave. Like I was, people were coming at me and I was riding against them. So to me, it's like, I think I do feel a little jaded and I do feel a little, I don't know, I guess upset about certain things, but I never think that somebody wants to take me down.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. What you just said is a huge difference because you're not on the same wave. Mm-hmm. You're not on the same wave. I'm not on the same wave as ABC mm-hmm. and the network and the studio. Mm-hmm. They're on their own wave. We get to ride on it from time to time. I get to ride on it when I host the Bachelor and Bachelorette mm-hmm. and Winter Games and, you know, miss whatever I do for them. And then I'm off that wave. And so are you. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing is I think the feeling of pride of ownership is where we go wrong. We don't own that. They do. You get to write it. When you own your show or when you own your property or own whatever you're doing, then you do. But we don't own that. Mm-hmm. And that it's really difficult to explain, but the feeling of pride of ownership and personal feelings getting involved in that is a difficult transition, difficult to explain. Mm-hmm. And everybody feels it. And it's not just you. And I think that is the other thing is you feel alone.
Yeah.
You feel like you're isolated and that you're the only one that's ever felt like that. And you're not. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. You know, it's a gift to be the Bachelorette. It's a gift to host the Bachelor and Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. It's a gift to do all the things we get to do. And you get to do it for a short period of time. I've been doing it for 16 years. That's still going to be a short period of time. And at some point, it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And that wave will be gone. And then I got to find a new wave and a new job and a new every. And you can't.
Hey, you should be pretty good from now.
I should be. Yeah. I'll be all right.
You'll be okay.
I'll do okay. I got time to find a new wave. But the you know, it is a difficult thing because it's not yours. Mm-hmm. And when you tell somebody, again, I said this before, it's not personal. It is personal to you. And that's the thing. It's not personal to them. And that's not because they're heartless, horrible people. It's right. Because they're just this massive conglomerate studio power. It's a show. Mm-hmm. And you're a human being. You're one human being. And so am I. And so it's, you got to find your place in that. And,
yeah.
And that's why it's, you know, I don't know how cheesy and deep we want to get, but you got to find your place in this world.
Yeah.
And you got to get your self-worth elsewhere mm-hmm. beyond Instagram, beyond Twitter, beyond what we're, you know, followers and all that.
Yeah.
That is, you know, and you're smart enough to know that. And so you can't get caught up in this bullshit mm-hmm. because you have to figure out what's important to you and what, and that can't be it.
Yeah. No. And that's my main thing. I'm like, I do think that we've done a great job of still being involved somehow because we appreciate where we've come mm-hmm. from to also like moving on and knowing that like, okay, don't sell like flat tummy tea and do all that shit,
right.
But still like take opportunities,
take advantage of it.
And things you believe in and be a good person and somehow make that work in your relationship. But I
also know, like, I'm sure you and Sean have had many conversations about, like, you know, it's BS that this has happened to us. It's BS. And by the way, you're probably not wrong. Like, there has probably been some horrible crap that's happened to you guys that I don't even know about, that we haven't even discussed. Like, where things were taken away from you guys. Right. Because I'm not on that wave that's deciding whether you guys get to do stuff or don't or whatever. So, because I'm fighting my own battles.
Yeah.
And so I can't take that away from you guys. And I understand that. I empathize with that and I get it. Mm-hmm. I do. But to think for a second that you guys aren't loved and beloved and cherished by us and by this franchise isn't fair to us that create this and put our heart and soul into this. Because, and I guess if you know, I don't know what analogy you want to use, but like, if you have two different objects here, there's the all seeing powerful network people that make decisions. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that are the heart and soul of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Me, the producers, the crew, like, sadly, we're not the ones that get to make all the decisions,
mm-hmm.
but we're the ones, I think, that matter the most.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what I mean?
No, we know.
It's the Alons of the world, Bennett, and, you know, all the producers and Megan, and, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The people that truly love you and truly love Sean and put their heart and soul into you guys and would die for you guys. Mm-hmm. But we don't get to say, Caitlin, like, we can't wait to see you on Dancing with the Stars. Of course you're going to do Dancing with the Stars.
I know.
That's not how it works. That's not how business works. And it's impossible, literally impossible for you to differentiate the two. And I know this because I can't.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for as long as anybody in this business. And you cannot take your personal feelings out of this.
Guys, let me tell you a couple useful car tips that you might not be aware of. Like a coffee filter, if you add a little bit of olive oil, you can clean your interior. I actually did it the other day. Removing excess weight from your car will improve your gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. It's weird, I know, but it does work. Another car tip you might not know about, TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right, TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy a real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And keep in mind, some features are not available in all states.
And I also know that I'm not sitting here thinking these people are all holding me back from Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, ugh, this happens and this happens and this one person can have control over certain things. I'm not like, everything I've done is ruined and I came on here to be on Dancing with the Stars. Like, there's so many things involved, but I'm also just like, at the end of it, I'm like, God damn, that's like my passion. Like, dancing is like my life.
Right. You wish you could just talk to a human being and say, guys, this is really something that's important. Like, this is something I love. Yeah. It's unfortunate you can't ever reach one person and just have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times in this business I, as successful as I've been in this business, can't run into just one person and have that conversation and say, guys, can we not? Yeah, that's just not how this business works.
And I understand that as well.
I don't understand it.
I think that might be what's the most frustrating, is that I can't just have a normal conversation and be like, hey, just so you know,
that's
what I want to do.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Mm, thanks for having me.
Yeah. No, I don't say that flippantly. There's been a dozen times where the way I grew up and the way I deal with things is I sit across from somebody, I look them in the eye and I have a conversation and we come to an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how the business works. And it has nothing to do with you. I deal with it. Everybody deals with it. Just like, and unfortunately, you guys are thrust into this from a different situation than I am. Like, I, at least I understand it because I've dealt with it for the last 20 years.
Right.
And I laugh at it and I can, you know, figure it out or however I get around it. But you guys go from zero to dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing to swallow because you never, you know, it's hard to find in this business just someone where you can like, guys, I just want to dance. Mm-hmm. It'll make me feel like, it'll make me feel good.
Right.
Like, right. Can we not, this will make me happy.
Yeah.
And that's not, unfortunately, there's a lot more
that
goes into it.
The hardest part for me is that I came from a world where I'm like, I surrounded myself with my bestest friends, with my family, with dance people, with everything. So then I go on a show and then I'm like, why just let me dance? Like, right. How could you not let me? But it's so much more for other things. And,
but just so you know, the show would love for you to dance. Like, the show loves you.
But who's the show?
You. Like us. Like the people that you know and love.
Right.
Love you. Like,
but the main people don't want me to dance.
Well, it depends. Again, it depends. It has nothing. Like, Caitlin, Chris, anybody becomes an entity. It's a business. It's just a business. And they're moving, you know, like any other corporate business, you're moving pawns on a board. Mm-hmm. This just happens to be a reality show where we're people and you're getting dealt with as such. And that's the cruel bit of this industry. And it's every business.
But my question is, and the whole reason that I couldn't,
right?
It was like, here's why you can't, Caitlin, like spelling it out for me. We don't want people coming off the show anymore wanting fame.
Right. Because that was an issue. Like there was a perception for a time, and whether it's right or wrong, that people feel like people come on the show just, you know, and they know they're going to do dancing. But the other thing is so much more goes into that. So much more goes into what, like so many other things going on behind the scenes, like so much that you, and I don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. Like I am not at that pay grade. I can't tell you what negotiations or what shows or what contracts or what promises have been broken or made, like the levels of which just BS that you and I don't know. We're probably going on, and I don't know. I'm just telling you. That's just my guess. Just knowing this business had nothing to do with you. And that makes it a lot worse for you.
I'm like,
because trust me, I have so little say at the end. And that's just, again, that's the nature of this business.
And I understand all that. I'm like, I get it. Yep. Totally get it.
But
no buts even. I think it's just more like, that's all I got.
At the end of the day, I can look you square in the eye and go, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You got, that sucks.
Yeah. And I agree. I'm like,
had you been the next bachelorette?
Right.
Probably would have danced or not. Who knows?
Right.
It depends which way the wind was blowing that day.
Yeah.
But the only thing I care about is that you understand that has nothing to do with you.
If I thought it had anything to do with me, I think I'd be miserable.
Well, I think you do think it has something to do with you.
I think it has
something to do with you and Sean.
Because it's
in the lack of love and respect we have for you guys.
It's never been a situation where, I made the mistake of putting it out on Snapchat. Did not mean to. You just laugh at that.
When you put you and Sean on Snapchat, yes.
Because it's never been, like, from that moment on, I was like, I'm screwed. Clearly blew it.
That had nothing to do with anything.
Mike Fleiss came up to me at the end of the finale. We were on our way to New York to go on Good Morning America. And he goes, just so you know, we love you. And we really want to have your wedding on TV and just know that we want to like have that conversation. And I was like, thought that was like a normal thing. I was like, Great. Yeah. Me too. Okay. Me too. Like, I guess at this point, I'm like, we had such great conversations. We made progress. We discussed weddings. We all these things. And then all of a sudden it was like, Kaylin, you think you're going to get a wedding? Like, everything just went to shit.
But that's not, it didn't go to shit. What went?
But where did it go wrong?
Nothing went wrong.
Well, then I'm still confused because Fleiss looked at me in the eye and he was like, just so you know, like, we would love to have your wedding.
Right. But he doesn't have a network. He doesn't have primetime network television.
And I'm not even sitting here saying, like, this is what we want.
What do you want?
No.
What do you want? What does Caitlin want?
Babies.
That's something Sean's going to have to help you with. I can't help you with that. This road you're going down, I do not want to go down there with you.
I want babies.
That's not me. You're looking at the wrong dude.
I'm looking at you right in the eyes, dude.
Wrong...
I'm like, hey, yeah. Make eye contact. I want babies.
I got two upstairs. I got two upstairs. I'm good. Done.
They're great. But I want babies.
Okay. When are you and Sean going to have babies?
I hope I have babies in the next 2 years.
You get married first?
Nah.
Don't care? All right.
We're going to end this podcast just because it's that time.
It's a 9-hour podcast?
Yeah.
I have a shoot tomorrow morning.
I have to be at the airport at 4:30. Here we go. Here's my last question. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Rachel, Brian, JoJo, and...
Jordan,
me and Sean.
How crazy that I keep all you guys straight. Yes.
Who's getting married first? Make your prediction here.
Tough call.
Well, I wouldn't have asked if it was easy.
Rachel and Brian.
I think so too.
I think Rachel and Brian are going to get married first.
And I think they're going to have babies really soon.
I don't know about that. That's you'd know much more about her uterus than I would. But Rachel and Brian. Then I would say you guys are going to have babies next. But JoJo and Jordan might get married first.
That is the most logical thing you've ever said. You win, Chris Harrison. You always do.
Is this the end of the podcast?
This is the end where I tell you. Here's where I pump your tires.
This is why I never do podcasts.
What? For the ending? I'm like, this is my ending.
Yes.
Thank you for doing my podcast. Thank you for trusting me and being Chris Harrison off camera. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for putting me in my place. But also, nope, just thank you. I'm like, the wine's flowing. It's too much. Let's just go.
Let's just go. I love you too. And I'm glad I welcomed you in my home.
It'd be really rude if you didn't.
No, it would not have been rude. I could have done this anywhere.
You're right.
But I welcomed you in. So I knew I would let go a little bit. And we could actually have a good talk.
It was a great, probably my favorite talk ever.
Is any of this going to be on the podcast? Were we recording any of this?
Oh my God, yes.
Were we recording any of this?
None.
What time is it? 1 a.m.
Is it seriously 1 a.m. in the morning? Oh my God. Here's the thing. I'm not going to sleep tonight because I have to be at the airport in 1.5 hours. Love you. I'm Kaylin Bristol. See you next Tuesday.
See you at LAX. Good night.
I'm Chris Harrison. I'll see you at LAX. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period. So you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.